to worship you, to declare how much you are worth, to glorify your name, to lift you up. Dear God, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are going to open the truth and seek for it and ask you to bring truth into our hearts. And we pray that you would give your anointing, your Holy Spirit's power to our time in your word, and that you would reveal to us what you want to say, and Lord, that we would be able to hear. I pray that you would keep me from saying anything untrue, that you would give me the anointing of your Spirit that I need to communicate your words. I pray that you would bless all that are here and all that could not be here, and that you would draw them closer to you. We thank you for them, and we pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you will, please. Philippians chapter 4. You know, some of us have been holed up in our homes. Ronnie was telling me on the way in, he's just been pretty much a monk. He's been a recluse, secluded in his house and seeing very few people. And a lot of us probably could say that we have withdrawn into our fortress to protect ourselves from the evil corona. You know, lock the doors, pull up the drawbridge, put the crocodiles in the moat. Nobody's getting in. Keep that, flatten that curve, whatever we got to do, right? That's the way our whole society's been going. Well, I want to talk about a different fortress than that one. Not our home, but it is every bit as real and even more important, this fortress I want to share with you today. This message is entitled, A Fortress of Peace. And we will read in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless his word. May we have ears to hear today. So, for a long time, I believe that verse 6 and 7 are just married to each other. And they are. In fact, verses 6 and 7 are the verses that God gave to us when we were trying to decide what to name Mary Frieda. Mary Frieda's name means ruled by peace even through sorrow. And this verse is very important for her. But I realize that verses 4 and 5 are also connected to verse 7. So I want us to look at what these words mean and what Paul is trying to teach us here at the end of his letter to the church at Philippi. He is trying to tell them some important things. And this little blurb right here is very important for Christian behavior and Christian life. And let me tell you something, in this day and age, in the time in which we are living, Christians, it is important that believers in Christ set the example. It's important that believers in Christ show the difference that Christ makes in a person's life. First of all, joy. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. It's not enough to say it once. He's like, look, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it again. You know, we do that today when we want to emphasize something. If I need to get somebody's attention, I might say, Ezekiel Thomas. Look at me now. It is a great name. Joy. This word here translated rejoice in the Greek is the Greek word chairo, and it means to be full of cheer, calmly happy, or well off. To be full of cheer. The next word, it says, it says rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. And that Greek word in is the Greek word ein, and it denotes a fixed position. It's a relationship of rest. And that's an important word in the Bible. It's very key, and it actually comes up later in our passage. But this word is translated in, and that is denoting a position of rest, a place where you are resting in. So when it says rejoice in the Lord, it's saying let your joy rest in him. And he says always, the Greek word always is pentote, and it means literally, it means every when. Every when, or at all times. At all times. Paul is saying, rejoice, be calmly peaceful, calmly happy. Have well-being in your soul always, at all times, even when you're asleep. That's what he's telling us. A Christian, a believer in Christ, should be full of joy at all times. There shouldn't be something happening in our lives that justifies stealing our joy. It's not allowed. This is not a suggestion. Paul doesn't say, you know, if you can afford to, and if things aren't too rough in your life, you should try to be joyful. He doesn't make this optional. This is an imperative command. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's not something that you necessarily feel, but it's a choice that we make to be joyful. We choose to look at our circumstances in such a way that causes us to have joy in the midst of them. Now, it's very important that we remember that joy is not the same thing as being happy. We can be sad and still be joyful. Something sad happened to me just this week. One of my coworkers, who's just a few years older than me, passed away. Unrelated to COVID-19, but still very suddenly and unexpectedly. He's gone. It was just a few days ago. I was joking around and talking with him. And he's not here anymore. He's gone on. And I trust and hope and believe that he is with the Lord. But we do not know. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. But in the midst of that sadness, we can still be joyful. And we can still choose to embrace the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I am joyful in him, I am made strong. That helps me to endure the sorrows and difficulties and trials and tribulations we face because we have the joy of the Lord. Being Mr. Grumpy Gills is not a way to attract people to the kingdom. Remember that movie? Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. It's one of my favorite movies, but the kids don't like to watch it because it has a big shark in it. Finding Nemo. See? They get startled just thinking about it. I love that movie. It's a great story about a father who's willing to cross the whole ocean to find his lost son. It's a beautiful story. But there's a part in it where he's being all kind of, whoa, 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 looking all negative, and his always cheerful, chipper friend says, hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. I say that sometimes to people if I think they're being too grumpy. All right, Grumpy Gills. That's not a good way to attract people to the kingdom. Some Christians walk around and they're just all, oh, sober-minded. We must be sober. They're always, you know, they got this condemning spirit about them. They got this really unhappy air. I'm going to heaven, but I don't have to like it. That's the attitude they seem to have. That's not a good way to say, hey, what a wonderful thing God did for me. Well, why aren't you more joyful, gracious? Having joy in the midst of sadness is often a wonderful testimony to the world about the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. Now, it is key that he says, rejoice in the Lord. That is the key. He doesn't say, rejoice in our circumstances, rejoice in our rewards, rejoice in our prosperity or the promise of prosperity. He's not saying rejoice because you see some good thing coming. He's not saying rejoice because you have great circumstances in your life. Then your circumstances change and now your joy is gone. He says rejoice in the Lord. The source of our joy, can you tell I haven't talked or preached for a while? I'm like, the source of our joy. The source of our joy is not what we are going through or the promise of great reward or the hope that one day it will be over. The source of our joy is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We rejoice in our relationship with him, in our standing with him, and we rejoice in our confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That is the source of our joy. That's the well from which it springs. It has to be he himself. If we find our joy in other things, those are temporary. Even eternal things like, you know, love and grace and peace and stuff. If those things are separated from our relationship with him, that joy will be stolen. Rejoice in the Lord. What's the next thing it says? Paul says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Greek word here for moderation is the Greek word epikeis, I think. And it means appropriate, mild, or gentle. One translation I read said it's translated as reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be known unto all men. Now, I like that. I like that translation probably better than moderation. But I couldn't find support for that translation at the time of my research. I'll have to do some more digging to figure out how they came up with reasonableness in one of the translations I read. I liked it, but I'm not sure how they came up with that, because the Greek word epikeis means mild, gentle. It can mean appropriate. It's a compound word from epi, which means down from or from above, and iko, which means to resemble or be like. To resemble or be like. So based on those clues, the research I was able to do about this meaning, this word could be talking about being Christ-like in a gentle spirit. That's the message conveyed by the word search that I did. Being Christ-like with a gentle spirit. That's what he's saying. Let your Christ-likeness be known unto all men. Let your gentle spirit, which is that which Christ had, be known in the world. This Christ-like attitude toward all people is the way that we should relate to others, even whether they're fellow believers or not. We ought to have a gentle, Christ-like, mild spirit. That's what Jesus was. Jesus said the Son of Man doesn't even break a reed. Like he said, I did not come to bring judgment and condemnation. I came to bring hope and light and salvation. He came gentle, but that doesn't mean he was weak. Meekness doesn't equal weakness. Just because someone is meek doesn't mean they're not strong. Jesus was very strong. In fact, the strongest of all the strong was Jesus Christ. And sometimes he was very forceful. He said things like, you whitewashed sepulchres, you hypocrites. That's a very forceful, that's not passive aggressive. That's like in your face aggressive. Because he was telling them the truth. You are being a hypocrite. And he went into the temple and turned over the money changers and and got, he made a whip. He got angry, drove them all out. Get out of here. It says that he was angry in one passage. So that's not weakness, but he was gentle and mild. And that is the general spirit that we should have. It doesn't mean that we lay down and roll over when there's a fight coming. Sometimes the servant of the Lord must strive. Well, actually, I'm misquoting that scripture. That scripture says the servant of the Lord must not strive. There is a time and a place to fight. Sometimes you have to stand up to fight and defend that which is important, that which is true, defend your family, etc. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that Jesus' spirit and attitude was a gentle one. It was meek and it was mild. And that is the Christ-like attitude we are to have, and it should be known to everyone. We shouldn't be known as a railing, raging, angry person. We should not be known as an angry person. We should be known to be gentle, to have a meek spirit. Even if that means our personality is flamboyant and passionate and out there. You can be a passionate, excited, enthusiastic person and still have gentleness in your heart. The Bible says a meek and quiet spirit is of great value. That is, in the sight of God, of great price. And it should be known unto all. Then he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Because Jesus is right there with you all the time. And he is going to be providing the Christ-likeness that we need. We can't just decide to be more Christ-like and work harder at it. We have to allow him to fill us with himself. The Lord is at hand. That's what he's saying. And then, in verse 6, and remember, all of these scriptures are connected. I didn't really see the connection. But I think that Paul is trying to say four verses are connected to each other. 4, 5, 6, 7. There we go. 4 verses. Thank you. He says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. That word careful, it means don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And the word nothing is the Greek word medias, medais. And it means not even one. Literally means not even one. There is nothing that is happening in our life that should cause us to be anxious. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't let anything cause worry in your life. Jesus said the same thing. He said, take no thought, which in the Greek means do not worry about tomorrow. What you shall eat, what you shall wear, what you shall drink. Don't worry about those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said that. Paul is reiterating that teaching. He's saying, don't be anxious about anything, not even one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Those are also interesting words. You know, we read that in English and we go, isn't that the same thing? Praying and supplicating? Well, in Greek, those are two different words. He's not saying the same thing twice. Prayer is the word prosuke, and it means worship prayer. Prosuke is related to the word prostrate. Prostrate is where you get down face first on the ground and show obeisance to either a king or some person that deserves it. In the scriptures, they did it all the time. And it was a position of worship. Prosuke is meaning worship prayer. And then the word for supplication is diesis, and it means petition or a request. So he's saying, in all of the things of your life, worship and make petition in prayer. By worship and supplication or request with thanksgiving, with gratefulness in your hearts. Friends, we have so much to be grateful for. Both my legs work. Both my arms work. I can see over to the other side of the room. I can hear what you say to me. I can taste my food. I have all my hair. All of these things are things to be grateful for. I wish Jim was here, I'd say. Right, Jim? Oh, I love Jim. I hope he's watching at home. But we have so much to be grateful for. We ought to come with thanksgiving all the time. I almost feel like my kids are bored. When I pray with them, I say, we just want to thank you. That's about the first thing I always say is, thank you, God, for this. We just come to you with gratefulness because we should always be grateful. This is not just a November thing. We don't just talk about gratitude at Thanksgiving time. It's something that should permeate our lives. So why should we be anxious when we have so much to be thankful for and we have a God in heaven who promised never to leave us or forsake us? He said in the verse before, the Lord is at hand. He's right here close. So don't be anxious about anything. But in all those things, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, I'm not sure how you could find indifference, but good, bad, or indifferent, by prayer or worship and making your requests with thanksgiving, not in a grumbling attitude, even though you can be raw and real with God. He can handle it. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let him know what your request is. He can take it. Say what it is you want or what it is you need. He can take your requests. Now, you got to be okay with a no. Remember Zeke? Way back in the day, we'll ask God, but if he says no, we'll still say yes, sir. Zeke said that about a blue bicycle, which we were then given. Didn't you pray for a blue bicycle and then it ended up being blue, the one we were given? Yeah. God gave him the right color, too. But we were prepared for a no, because if God says no, we say yes, sir. We have to be willing to do that. But let your requests be made known unto God. And then there's the promise. The best way to respond to anxiety is through prayer. Don't forget that. We have a tendency to respond in unhealthy ways to anxiety, including prescription drugs. And I'm not saying there's not a place and a time for some of those things. But we don't often respond well to anxiety. The best way is through prayer. To come to the throne and just lay it all out. He can take it. And then what does he say in verse 7? There's a promise made. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what some of these words mean in the Greek. The word for peace is the word eirene, and it means, it's from a root word which means to join. And it means one. It means quietness. To join means that we're taking things that were at variance, that we're fighting, and we brought them together to join them together. That is peace. The peace of God. The Greek word for understanding here is the word nous, or nous. And it means the mind or the intellect. Your ability to understand things is in your mind. Your intelligence. This is saying that the peace of God, which he gives, surpasses all understanding. It defies comprehension. The peace of God defies comprehension. How can you grasp a hold of it? The human mind can't. The Bible says the human mind cannot grasp a hold of the peace of God. It's so wonderful. It's so marvelous. It's so above anything that we can grasp a hold of or understand. Which, honestly, makes it a little challenging to explain it to you. Yeah, thanks. Good luck. We can't understand the peace of God. It's incredible. Have you ever been in a situation which was very stressful or challenging or difficult, and you just found an unexplained calmness in your soul? There's just something that I don't know how to explain it, but I'm at rest. I'm okay. I'm at peace. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I have experienced that. And people say, how can you be at peace? This is horrible. All of these crazy things happening. Other people would have cracked 1,000 miles before. Why are you doing this? And you answer and you say, I don't know. I can understand it. I understand why this is happening. It's just the peace of God. The peace of God washing over my soul and giving me the strength to endure the challenges of life. We have experienced challenges over the last few weeks of various kinds. And in the midst of those and all kinds of those challenges, honestly, have not been anywhere close to the level of difficulty that so many other people endure. But we have gotten a taste, haven't we, in America, of what a lot of people have to go through. They can't afford nice food, so they have to survive on what they can get. There's not nice food available, so they have to buy whatever they got to buy and live on what they got to live on. They got to survive. Honestly, the church in America has experienced persecution on a small scale. But churches, believers in other countries have experienced it in a much greater way. Other countries, if they were to have a service like this, there'd be authorities breaking down the door and taking everybody off to jail, or at least the pastor to jail. That happens in other parts of the world. And we experienced a little bit of that over the last couple of months, because if we were to have churches, if they were to have what they wanted to do, and that's to worship God the way their scriptures and their conscience dictates that they should worship Him, the authorities would bust in. And the authorities did bust in a couple places in this country and find the pastor. I can't remember if I read any that were arrested, but churches were told you cannot worship God by the governing authorities. What's your point, preacher? I don't honestly remember. Let's go back. It is the peace of God that passes our ability to understand it, and that peace keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That peace keeps us, and that word keep is amazing. It's not the word that I've talked about before, tereo, but it is related. It's the Greek word phroreo, and it means to be a watcher in advance. That is, to mount guard as a sentinel, or to post spies at the gate, to hem in or protect. It's talking about you send a sentinel to the guard, to the gate, and he's going to stand on the wall, and he's going to stand guard to see if there's any enemies coming. It's a wall, an advanced wall. It's an advanced protection system is what it is. To use techno-lingo, it's a firewall stopping the viruses from getting through, and it's saying, nope, you're not getting through this way. That's what that Greek word literally means. So when it says, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, it's saying this incredibly mysterious and incomprehensible power of God, the peace of God, shall go out before you and shall protect your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You shall be protected from the anxiety of the world, protected from the despair the world experiences when they sit down across from a doctor who says, you've got cancer, you've got 6 months to live. When they sit down across from a family member who says, or maybe they don't sit down, but a husband says, I'm sorry, I'm leaving you. I've fallen in love with another woman in love. That's crushing. There's 1,000 different things I could give you examples for, but I don't need to. You've experienced it in your own life. And in the midst of those moments, when we are sad and defeated and crushed, we turn to the Lord. We give our heart unto Him. We come before Him with worship, with supplication, in a spirit of thanksgiving, because He says, in all things give thanks. And I let my request be made known unto Him. I say, please take this pain away. Or I say any number of other things, and I lay it at His feet, and what does He do? He grants me the peace of God. But deeper than that, if I walk in a way so that Christ's Spirit is displayed to the world, if I choose to have joy in the midst of my circumstances, in everything, rejoice in the Lord always, these things also bring about the peace of God in my heart. Now, I'm not saying you have to do, I'm not giving you a list of, you got to rejoice, you got to have moderation, and you got to pray a lot, and then you'll have the peace of God. I'm not giving you a checklist. I'm saying this attitude, this spirit of joy, of Christ-like gentleness, of consistent prayer, thanksgiving, those things, when we live in that way and pursue those things in our life, God promises to give us the peace of God. That I just don't understand how I'm able to do this or what is happening, but God is giving me His peace. That doesn't mean I'm happy all the time. It doesn't mean things are great. It doesn't mean I don't have to still endure hardship. It means that God's peace is there. It means that, like that famous poem, He's picking me up. I only see one set of footprints through all the hardships. What happened? Did you abandon me? No, I was carrying you through those times. That is the peace of God that is the fortress that we rest in. And I want you to know how many times in this passage it says, in the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord. It says, let's just look at it. Rejoice in the Lord. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is the Greek word ein, and it means in. It means a place of rest. You see, this is not devoid of Jesus Christ. He is the source of our joy, the source of our ability to be gentle or meek. He is the source of our peace. He is the fortress we run to. The Bible says in Psalms, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. He is a fortress that we run to. He provides peace that keeps us safe. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what it's saying. This translation says through, but we get the wrong idea in modern English from that word. In Christ we find peace. In Him, that peace that passes understanding protects us, watches over and guards our hearts and our minds. And we don't understand it. We can't figure out where it comes from. We don't know why. It's like, I don't know what buttons I pressed to make the peace of God wash over my soul, but it's here. That is what Jesus does for us. It is all, though, within Him. It is all part of Him. And so, if you want something practical to take home with you this week, what am I telling you? I'm telling you, look unto Him. Seek after Him. Make the choice to rejoice. Ooh, that needs to be on a bumper sticker somewhere. Make the choice to rejoice. Choose to look at your circumstances with gratefulness. Seek after a meek and quiet spirit. Let your reasonableness, your gentleness, your moderation be known unto all. Let that be the attitude in which you walk. And when things are hard, in every circumstance, don't allow it to make you anxious. Take it to God. Take it to God. Take it to God. And life is so hard here, you understand now why Paul said pray without ceasing. We have to go all the time. Because there's plenty of hard things, but he says don't be anxious about anything. How many things, ask this question to yourself, how many things in your life are causing you to be anxious? How many things cause us to be anxious? It shouldn't be any. It should not be even one thing that makes us anxious or worried. Because we should be taking that to God. We should be laying it at his feet. And with worship, with supplication, and with thanksgiving, making requests to God and laying it out there and giving it over to him over and over as many times as it takes. Start getting anxious again. Start getting worried again about that thing in my life, and I'm just going to take it and just give it again to him over and over and over again. And the more I do that, the more peace comes. That's what Paul is telling us. That's what Paul is teaching us. That's what Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us through this passage in Philippians that we've all probably heard 100 times. But it really encouraged my soul to remember the peace that passes understanding and the pathway to finding it, the path to walk. And it's really knowing him more. It is all found within him, in the Lord, resting in the Lord. So let's take that with us throughout this week and throughout the hardships that we may still face and the struggles we may still find. Let's rest in him, because that's where the peace will protect us. That's where the fortress will be. The advanced guard. That I don't understand that guy out there, that peace of God, but somehow he's my sentinel, protecting my heart and my mind. And I thank God for him. Lord, we know that you are strong and mighty, and we know that you are so, so great. You deserve our worship. And Lord, we are just grateful that the peace that we don't understand still comes to protect and guide and help us. We pray that you would send your peace upon our hearts. Lord, there may be someone here today who is experiencing a great deal of anxiety. There's something in their life that's causing them worry or concern. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender those things to you, to lay them at your feet, and allow your peace to guard us, to keep our hearts and minds, to protect us from the enemy. Lord, help us not to be a people of anxiety or worry. Help us to be a people of peace, of gentleness, of wisdom, and of joy. I pray that you would give us your joy, and that we would walk peacefully, faithfully, knowing that you are trustworthy, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that in the midst of these hard times, you're there. We give you glory. We thank you for being here with us today already, and we pray continue to make yourself known unto us this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.